Welcome into the Crimson Corner Podcast. It's powered by KSLSports.com. I'm your host and Utes Insider, Trevor Allen. Glad to be with you guys once again for another episode of the Crimson Corner. Make sure you guys head over to KSLSports.com for all of the latest and download the KSL Sports app. It's powered by University Federal Credit Union. Anything you need regarding content from around the state of Utah, and in particular with the Utes, we've got you covered with the KSL Sports app. Now, as I promised on the last episode, I want to play back part two of my interview with former Utah quarterback Drew Lisk. So we were talking about the season, everything that happened in 2020 with COVID and having to play football during a pandemic, coming in and relieving Jake Bentley, who was benched late in that second quarter against Washington State in the regular season finale. And everything in between was on the last episode. But on this one, we're talking about why they didn't play in a bowl game, tragic passing of running back Ty Jordan on Christmas night in Texas, and then looking ahead to what the 2021 Utah football team looks like. So here is part two of my conversation with Utah quarterback Drew Lisk. You guys chose after the, or, you know, leading up to that Washington State game, that you guys were not going to play in a bowl game because you guys would have had to beat Washington State in order to even be eligible, even though there wasn't a bar set by, you know, college football. It was the Pac-12. You guys had to have a 500 record or better to be bowl eligible. But even though you guys had a chance to play in a bowl game, you guys opted not to. What went behind that choice to not play in a bowl game?
I think at the end of the day, it was just like what we talked about earlier, playing the season during everything that was going on. It was a mental grind more than anything, more than even physical. I mean, the physical grind of any season is always a high demand. But just the mental aspect of you're playing, you're not playing, you got to come in and get tested then and then come back later and get your test results. Like, for instance, Jake one day gets a false positive and can't go to practice. So, you know, I mean, it's just stuff like that over time. I think everyone, it wasn't that we didn't really want to play. It's not like no one wanted to play football again. It was more of just, you know, we've been through a lot. And I think also big factor was we get to be at home for Christmas, with our families and stuff. And that's pretty rare when you got a program like us who's consistently playing in bowl games. Even if you get to go home for Christmas, you're often leaving Christmas Day and you've been there for 2 days or something. So I think that was those two things. Just when it came down to it, we just decided, you know what, I think this would be a good decision. We can all, after the last game, after the Washington State game, go home, be home for Christmas, and, you know, just kind of put this year put the season behind us, move on a little bit, regroup a little bit. So
to me, you guys made the right choice. I mean, who am I? I'm just a guy who covers the team. But for what you guys had to go through, I mean, writing all of these stories of games getting canceled and things like that, I mean, I can only imagine what it was like to be a player on that team.
Yeah, it was crazy. I mean, yeah, just each day was a new day with new news and new protocols, this and that. And it was just a lot. So, yeah, we're ready to, like I said, take a break for a little bit and regroup.
Now, something I want to ask you really, really quick, and then we're going to move on to a couple of other things. Looking ahead to the 2021 season, I guess we'll start off with that. How good is this Utah defense going to be moving forward? Because there was all these brand new faces. You were also a part of that 2019 team where you had the entire front, except for Mika, get drafted. And the whole secondary is basically drafted or at least had a shot at the NFL. And obviously, you know, Francis did as well. Just how good is this defense going to be moving forward, especially with some of the pieces that the Utah picked up in that 2021 signing class?
Really good. Really good. I mean, it's when you look at the youth that was on the field, especially on the defensive side of the ball this past year, there's a lot to look forward to from a defensive standpoint, from a whole team, honestly, but specifically about the defense, since you asked, you know, there's a lot to look forward to. A lot of guys showed that, you know, they can play on the big stage. And I think for a lot of people, that was the question mark. You know, the defense is going to be young. How are they going to hold up? And even in practice, sometimes it's hard to tell because you're not tackling very much. When it's not a live game rep, it's truly hard to hard to evaluate how a defense is going to play in a game from practice perspective. So, they went out there and they showed again that they were just another typical great Utah defense this year. So, with all those young guys getting all those game reps under their belt from this past year, I would only expect them to be even better come next season.
When we tweeted out the story that you were officially done playing football, Britton Covey quote tweeted and wanted you to come back on senior night to play quarterback. Thoughts on that?
Oh man, Britton's a character. That's what I'll say there. He's got all sorts of stuff up his sleeve. But yeah, I mean, I'd love to come back. I mean, I obviously can't come back and play. That's I think that's how it works. But I'm gonna enjoy being able to come back for some games and enjoy it from an outsider's perspective and just watch some games and keep an eye from wherever I am and hopefully get to check out some games in person and also check out the new end zone down there. That's gonna be pretty sweet.
It's going to be pretty sweet, man. I tell you what, you probably should have gone back just to be a part of that for one more year. Man, that would have been awesome. Now, on a very somber and sad note, I have to ask you. I can't have you on without asking you. Ty Jordan, when he tragically passed away Christmas night in Texas, first of all, how did you hear? And two, what was your reaction to that?
I mean, I actually, Jake Bentley was actually at home in South Carolina. So on East Coast, he was up already. It was about 7 a.m., I think. And he had called me and I was still laying in bed. So I didn't answer. I was like, yeah, I'll talk to him later. And then when I woke up an hour or so later, I had gotten on Twitter and seen everything. And I was just like, I was in shock. And nothing that I had seen was from anything that was like confirming it for sure. So, but I mean, everything was saying that that's what had happened. I mean, that's just such a sad tragedy for just to think that someone that young is gone. And to me, I was like, wow, it was like a week after we played and had that incredible, a week after, and he's just gone, taken from us. So just hard to put into words when someone like that passes away at such a young age and so tragically like that. So that was extremely tough, individually from a team's standpoint, and also we know for his family too. But we were thankful to, the Utah, the athletic department for letting us go down to his service. That was really well done. And, I think they did a great job of making it a celebration of his life, which is, the exact personality that Ty was. He was always upbeat and happy. So the reflection of, everything that he was certainly stood out in the service. So it was good to be able to go down there and do that. But certainly going to be continue to miss him and just an invaluable piece of the team and just person. Everything you hear about him is certainly true and it's all good. So
You only got
just
to
a real
talk to him
sad
four
situation.
times during the year counting camp because he was on the back end of the running back group. He was always mentioned as like the third or fourth guy who was going to get reps behind Devin and Jordan. And so we ended up talking to him once during, or actually, I don't even think we even talked to him once during camp, but then the first time we did talk to him was after, I think it was the Washington game. And then after that, it was an every game occurrence, but we didn't get to know Ty the way you guys did. And that's the one thing that really sits hard with me is I couldn't get to know Ty Jordan the person. I mean, we ended up hearing about his story and, about how his mom passed away, in August and just everything that he's had to go through and, trying to just everything he told us, he just wanted to make her proud. And I know for a fact, just that as someone who covers the team, that he did just that because his game on the field was spectacular, but he was also humble in the way he handled himself, at least the way that I looked at it from the media point of view. You're obviously a leader on that team and just seeing how he handled himself. And, it was also really touching to see how they honored him at a celebration of life where he had his uniform on. And then from what I heard, we didn't get any video or anything of that, but that you guys went into the end zone with him, or took him into the end zone. And then you guys did the, I think it's called the Utah Millie. Tom Hackett, you probably know Tom Hackett. I work with mm-hmm. him. And so he told me about it and where you guys did that in the end zone with him.
Yeah, they let us do that. You know, they really embraced the fact that Ty was a part of our family and that we meant a lot to Ty and that Ty meant a lot to us. So that was special to really kind of be, to get to be a part of that, to his celebration. Obviously for his family, they had it the toughest. And then I would say we obviously really tough for all of us too, but, yeah, that was pretty cool. Obviously not easy or what anyone wants to do, but given the situation, it's pretty cool that they let us do that.
I don't know how you can really move on to the next thing without, I mean, it's tough to do to move on from something this tragic, but we will anyway. Jake Bentley, a guy that you obviously had a really good relationship with, he decided to enter the portal after he was benched in the Washington State game. Just talk about any interactions that you had with him. What was his thoughts? I mean, we didn't really see him at all on Twitter or anything after the Washington State game. Just how did he take that getting benched and what kind of led to him entering the portal?
I mean, he took it with class. He's a well-grounded man. And you can tell that he's mature. We roomed together. So, I mean, our relationship was really good from the start. We always got along, but you know, for him, it was just a situation where, you know, he wanted to go somewhere else. And I think he's also excited to be closer to home too. You know, he's not right at home, but at South Alabama, he's not too far. So, I mean, I'm looking forward to watching him. I think he's going to have a great year and cause he's a talented player, no doubt about it. So, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing what he does, but he handled it with class and was supportive, and you know, we still talk every now and then. So
what is Cam Rising's potential? We only got to see about 17 snaps of him. It was kind of hit and miss a little bit, but from what I did see, I thought that, you know, the future was bright. But as someone who worked with him, practiced with him, and also competed with him at that quarterback position, what is Cam's potential?
I think he's got a chance to be really good. You know, he's a really good passer, which I think if, when you're looking at a quarterback, you know, that's the first place you should look, is as a passer. And passing to me includes not only arm strength, but accuracy, decision-making, all of that. He's an instinctive player, extremely accurate and quick delivery. And he's got good pocket presence too. And his athleticism is, I don't know if at this point you can call it sneaky, because I think a lot of people have gotten a chance to see it, but he can scoot and he's pretty slippery. So in my opinion, I think he's got really a chance to be really good and special player. Hopefully, you know, I really hope that he comes out of the surgery and rehab at full strength, because, you know, I can only imagine if that was myself, how bummed I would be to have an injury like that. So I hope it doesn't hamper him in any way. I just really want him to be able to come back at full strength and get a chance to, you know, to really play and show what he can do. Cause I think he's going to be fun to watch.
So with you being done playing and with Jake transferring, Utah had to go into the portal a little bit. I mean, obviously Peter Costelli signed in the 2021 class. You also have Cooper Justice, but Cam's not going to be available at least until fall camp, according to Kyle Whittingham. But they went out into the portal and got Quindon Jackson, who's another Texas transfer, a dual threat guy, and a guy who started for 4 years at Baylor and had a really good season in 2019, and Charlie Brewer. Just talk about the quarterback talent that's coming in for Andy Ludwig and Kyle Whittingham.
Yeah, so start with Peter. You know, he's visited a couple times. I've had a chance to talk to him, you know, once or twice, not a whole lot with COVID again. You know, I've met him once, I think, in person, and then once he joined a Zoom over the quarantine when the NCAA, I don't know, whatever their weird rules, he was able to, but not the incoming class. I don't know. It's weird.
That would end up being a whole other avenue to talk about the NCAA. We're not.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We won't do that. but yeah, I mean, I think from what I've heard, you know, everything, he's sounded like he's a great athlete, good arm strength. And I'm sure with Coach Ludwig, he's going to develop very well. If he's got the skill set, and from what I've heard, he's all ball and is ready to learn. As far as the two transfer guys, I don't know a ton about them specifically. Obviously, I know Charlie being the guy who started at Baylor. I've seen a little bit about him, heard a little bit about him over the past couple of years. So he's a well-established veteran player. So I'm sure that presence will be good with a young room. And then the transfer from Texas, young guy I know. I don't know a whole lot about him, to be honest with you, but I know they're high on each of them. So yeah, I mean, Coach Ludwig, to touch on him real quick, he's when I say all ball about Peter, no one is more all ball than Coach Ludwig. So they'll all be in good hands, and when it comes time to play, I know they'll be ready because Coach Ludwig is the one who's running the show in there and going to make sure that they're right. So he's as sharp as they get. So.
And there you go. That is part of part two of my conversation with Drew Lisk. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we will finish up the conversation with the former Utah quarterback. You're listening to the Crimson Corner Podcast. Welcome back into the Crimson Corner Podcast. It's powered by KSLSports.com. I'm your host and Utes Insider, Trevor Allen. A really good conversation that went about an hour on a live stream a couple of weeks ago with Drew Lisk, and I wanted to bring it back for you guys. And we're going to be using Drew throughout the football season, throughout the off season, just whenever anything comes up. He's going to be a great resource for KSL Sports and our Utes coverage for football this upcoming season. So really excited to have him on board. But we're going to finish up our conversation with the second part of part two of my interview with Drew Lisk. I want to ask this because I do not want to have it slip my mind and I don't have it written down on my bullet points, but when did you know you were done playing football, at least for Utah?
I would say I kind of was thinking about it a lot over the break, over Christmas and all. You know, I didn't want to let that last game, you know, being on the high of that last game, determine my decision for me. So I kind of used a little bit of time to kind of let that sink in and kind of go on the back burner a little bit and not really have that be the forefront of my decision. I think it was probably 2 weeks ago was when, you know, Coach Ludwig could call me to check in again. And at that time I was ready to make my decision. So I just went ahead and told him, and that was that. So moved on from that. But yeah, I mean, it's certainly wasn't an easy decision, but you know, I feel good about the decision that I made, and you know, I'm looking forward to what's to come. And I mean, that everyone's going to miss playing sports. So, I mean, I'll miss it at some point. It'll hit me a little bit probably, because it was something that I really enjoyed. But at the end of the day, it was just something that, you know, I felt like it was a good time for me, and I'm happy where I'm at in life, not just from a playing standpoint. So, you know, that was the ultimate, just kind of looked at it whole picture rather than looking at, wow, I had that great game. Like, playing here is going to be like, you know, like I'm, this is going to be great. Everything is going to be perfect for me now, you know? So I just kind of tried to take a step back and just analyze it from a personal perspective on just, you know, me playing football, continuing to play football. So
did Lud or Witt try to convince you to come back for one more year?
They didn't do, no, I mean, they kind of was saying, you know, it's up to you. You do what you want to do kind of a thing. They made it clear that they'd be happy to have me if I chose to come back. But yeah, I mean, it wasn't a beg fest or anything. They were on their knees, which you wouldn't expect. I mean, as you can see, they can find talent. So, yeah.
I want to touch on a couple more things and then I'll let you go. Obviously, I told you 30 minutes and it's been well past that, but you know, this has been a great conversation. And,
oh yeah. I enjoy talking ball.
So not only that with, you know, the quarterback position going to the portal, but Utah had to do that as well after TJ Green entered the portal during camp. And then Devin Brumfield, Jordan Wilmore, both decided to enter the portal. Devin's going to Tulane and Jordan's going to Fresno State. And then obviously the whole tragedy with Ty Jordan left Utah really bare as far as scholarships at running back. So they went and got two pretty good recruits, guys who were highly sought after coming out of high school. One in TJ Pledger coming out of Oklahoma, and then coming out of LSU is Chris Curry. What does that say about Utah and where they're at now, where they're getting these kind of transfers from, I guess, blue blood college football teams?
I just think it speaks volumes to when you have continued success, you can, and you build on it each year and show that you can sustain that success. You start to, start getting a little bit of recognition and start to stand out a little bit. So I think that has a lot to do with, just over the years, the coaching staff that's in place, that's been in place, has established the foundation, and the players that come in each and every year and that stay for 4 years, 4 or 5 years, continue to build upon it. And, it's just, I think Utah's starting to get on the map a little bit, and deservedly so. We've had talented players on the roster all 5 years that I was here, and, some guys coming from some, traditionally big name schools. I think only ups that. So I think you'll continue to see it. I think the recruiting is, I don't follow and keep up with recruiting very closely at all. I kind of, when guys come in or whatever, I take notice on visits and all, and then get to know them and they get here. I don't follow it maybe as closely as I should as an active player or did. But the recruiting classes have been outstanding the past few years. And they continue to climb. So I would say the future's bright with the current roster and the guys continuing to come in. And, hopefully they can continue to climb and have continued success and reach that Pac-12 championship and win it. And, on a national level, have success too, because I think they're certainly capable of it.
What has your time at Utah meant to you?
Oh, my goodness. It's been 5 years of my life where, probably some of the best 5 years of my life that I'll ever have. It's been a great experience on the field, off the field, education-wise. I just really can't say enough about the positive experiences that I've had here. Everyone involved, the people, they do things right in the program academically. The people that are around want to help you and they care about you, in all aspects. So, it's a great place, and, I really can't say that I would do anything differently looking back at my 5 years. So it's been something I'll cherish for the rest of my life.
Two of those 5 years, you guys went to the Pac-12 championship game. Obviously, the first time was against Washington. You didn't have Zach or Tyler Huntley in that game. But, still, really close game. And then you guys had, I'm gonna say this now, especially since you're not a player anymore. You guys had a chance to go to the college football playoff had you guys beat Oregon in that championship game in 2019. As someone who's been through that grind of being a Pac-12 style champion, and now that you're not a player anymore, you get to put on your analyst hat, your, fan hat. When will Utah hoist the Pac-12 championship trophy? What year?
I'm going to say 2021. Really? Think so. I think there's a legitimate, and I would say confident chance that it happens this year. And if it doesn't happen this year, it's right around the corner.
All right, within the next 2 to 3 years, the latest?
I would be shocked if it took that long. The talent is there, schemes and the, you know, everything's in place. We've come up just short twice, you know, where we just didn't necessarily play as good as we were able to. And getting over that hump is going to be a challenge. Every time you take the next step, getting to the next one after that just becomes exponentially harder. So it's not just a one game thing. Starts in winter conditioning, spring ball, summer, fall camp, each individual game. It takes a lot to get there, but I think the program has shown that they can get there, and I definitely see it happening, them overcoming that in the next year to 2 or 3 years for sure.
Kyle Whittingham told us after the game against Washington State that you have 3 degrees. Is that true?
I don't know if you count a minor as officially, like as a degree itself. So I majored in kinesiology and finished that up, I guess,
Wow.
year and, well, I guess it was last summer. And then, so I did a business minor with that when I finished that up. And then I started a master's in finance in the fall. So I will leave with, I don't know if, again, I don't know, a bachelor's degree and a master's. So
That's
after this
still
summer.
impressive.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, and I, you know, that was, I wanted to finish up and get the most out of it and, you know, hopefully set myself up for success in the future. And I'm fortunate enough to be provided with that opportunity. So try to take advantage of it.
So, final question, what's next for Drew Lisk?
Oh, right now, you know, going through the master's program, it's not easy. Not hard, but it's not easy. So just finishing that up this spring and summer, possibly an internship starting in spring, and hopefully when it gets warm, even more golf than last summer during the quarantine. So yeah, I find ways to stay busy and active and enjoy myself. But yeah, and then from there we'll see. See what happens.
Is there a type of field that you want to work in?
You know, I don't know. I'm trying to hopefully figure that out with the through the master's program. Certainly interested in finance. Exactly what specific area of finance? That's kind of what I'm going through right now. Taking some electives, see what it is that I like most, and then yeah, like I said, go from there. See what's available. See what presents itself. What opportunities I can create for myself and make the most of them.
Maybe some type of salary cap type of
Oh,
business. Maybe you're working for an NFL team doing salary caps.
don't know. Yeah, I don't know about that. We'll see. We'll see.
Well, Drew, it has been an absolute pleasure. I know I've taken up way too much of your time, but
Not at all. Not at all.
for all the Ute fans out there who are tuning in or who will watch this later, can you just give them a message of what they've meant to you or just at kind of as a parting, like we never got a chance to give you a proper send off in that Washington State game because there weren't any fans other than family members. But as that proper send off now, what would you say to Utah fans?
Keep supporting the team. You know, the support means a lot for sure. Having people pulling for you and getting juiced up for you for games home and away, and just supporting the community means a lot. Keep the faith because there's bright years ahead. And you know, just keep packing Rice Eccles and making it loud and giving the opponents nightmares. And I think you guys got some good things coming for you, so keep it up.
And there you go. That was Drew Lisk, the former Utah quarterback. If you want to listen to the full conversation and you haven't yet, I played the first half of it on the last episode of the Crimson Corner podcast, and then part two, obviously, on this episode. And then coming up on the next episode of the Crimson Corner podcast, a really important discussion with two Utah football leaders, Devin Lloyd and Clark Phillips III. In honor of Black History Month, we talked about the social justice issues that are going on in America and how we can educate ourselves to be able to understand of what is going on in our society. None of it's football, I'm going to be honest with you, but there's a time and place for football. I know spring football is right around the corner, and trust me, we will have you covered wall to wall with Utah spring football here on the podcast and at kslsports.com. But I think you guys will enjoy this conversation on the next episode, so make sure you guys check it out. Thank you so much for listening. This has been the Crimson Corner Podcast, and it's always powered by kslsports.com.